Hare Krishna, our great fortune once again to hear His Grace Vamshi Vadan Prabhuji on day 8 of Bhakti Shastri in Shridham Mayapur on 28th of this, on 31st of December 2013, and it's a second half of day 8. It's a unit 2 of Bhagavad Gita from chapter 7 to 12, and now we are starting with chapter 11. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so we are starting with the next chapter. That's Vishwarup Darshan Yoga, the universal form. Can somebody please close the door? Okay, so the 11th chapter has 5 sections. In the first section, 1 to 8, Arjuna's request and Krishna's description of his universal form. Okay, first verse. Arjuna said, "By my hearing the instructions you have kindly given me about these most confidential spiritual subjects, my illusion has now been dispelled." Right, so Arjuna is saying that whatever I've heard till now, all my illusion is gone. Moho yam vigato mama. So all his moha is gone. So as Prabhupada writes in his purport, this chapter reveals Krishna as the cause of all causes. He is even the cause of the Mahavishnu, from whom the material universe emanates. Krishna is not an incarnation, he is the source of all incarnations. That has been completely explained in the last chapter. Now as far as Arjuna is concerned, he says that his illusion is over. This means that Arjuna no longer thinks of Krishna as a mere human being, as a friend of his, but as the source of everything. Arjuna is very enlightened and is glad that he is such a great friend as Krishna, but now he is thinking that although he may accept Krishna as the source of everything, others may not. So, in order to establish Krishna's divinity for all, he is requesting Krishna in this chapter to show his universal form. Right, I think that's one of your Purvaswadhyaya questions, right? Why is Arjuna asking Krishna to show his universal form? If he himself is convinced, that's what he's saying, his illusion is over, and he's totally convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then why is he asking Krishna to show the universal form at this point of time? And Prabhupada is explaining, what's it? In order to establish Krishna's divinity for all, that means for everyone else, for all of the people, he is requesting Krishna in this chapter to show his universal form. Second verse. O Lotus-Eyed One, I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity and have realized your inexhaustible glory. Just go through the connections. Actually, the last verse of the previous chapter and this are connected. Okay, here is mentioned two reasons why Arjuna asked to see the Vishwarup. Okay, so this is the answer to your Purvaswadhyaya question. One reason is this, that is, establish Krishna's divinity for all, which Prabhupada mentions in this purport. And now in the third purport, Prabhupada gives another reason, and that is to set a criterion, okay, for all bogus incarnations, right, to distinguish real incarnations from bogus incarnations, to set a criterion. That's the second reason why Arjuna is requesting Krishna to show the universal form.
How would Arjuna do that?
Okay, we're coming to that. We're coming to that. Just hold on. Okay, this is a commentary on the first verse. Somebody can please read that.
In the last chapter, Arjuna, seeing the universal form, raises it in reverence. And Krishna shows himself again. Arjuna becomes pleased. At the end of the last chapter, hearing about one amsa of his dear friend, the Adi Purusha, who is the shelter of all the devotees, with the word Tena, before Jagat, Arjuna became submerged in the highest bliss and desired to see that form. He praises what the Lord has just spoken in three verses.
Right, so in the last verse of the previous chapter, Krishna has said this, Vishtabhyaham idam kritsam ekam shena sito jagat. By just a small amsha, I am pervading the entire universe. Right? And so, Arjuna is very eager to see that amsha of the Supreme Lord which is pervading the entire universe. That's the connection between the last verse of the previous chapter and this chapter. And that's what he wants to see. Go ahead.
The words spoken by you revealing vibhutis, perceiving yourself, Adhyatma, have removed my ignorance concerning your power, moha. The word Adhyatma is here taken as
Okay, forget it, forget it. Okay, that's fine. Okay, that's so that's the connection between the last verse of the previous chapter and this chapter, that is Vishtabhyaham idam kritsam ekam shena sito jagat. So Arjuna basically wants to see that form in which he is pervading the entire universe. Coming to the third verse. So third verse, O greatest of all personalities of supreme form, though I see you here before me in your actual position as you have described yourself, I wish to see how you have entered into this cosmic manifestation. Okay, so that's what he wants to see. How you have entered into this cosmic manifestation. I want to see that form of yours. Okay? So, and towards the end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that since the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I'm reading just in between the purport. Since the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is present within Arjuna Himself. Therefore, He knows the desire of Arjuna, and He can understand that Arjuna has no special desire to see Him in His universal form. For Arjuna is completely satisfied to see Him in His personal form of Krishna. But the Lord can understand also that Arjuna wants to see the universal form to convince others. So it's basically for others that Arjuna wants to see that form. Arjuna did not have any personal desire for confirmation. Krishna also understands that Arjuna wants to see the universal form to set a criterion for in the future there would be so many imposters who would pose themselves as incarnations of gods. The people therefore should be careful. One who claims to be Krishna should be prepared to show his universal form to confirm his claim to the people. Right, so that's the reason also why Arjuna tells Krishna to show. What was the question?
So, you mentioned in order to establish Krishna's divinity, one should distinguish between different...
That's what Prabhupada is writing.
Yeah, and so I was wondering how he would distinguish, is it for preaching or what?
Yeah, so if somebody says he's an incarnation, then that's what Prabhupada is writing here. So that for the future there would be so many imposters who would pose themselves as incarnations of God. The people therefore should be careful. One who claims to be Krishna should be prepared to show his universal form to confirm his claim to the people.
I mean Arjuna's ashram was in Bhakta ashram, wasn't it?
So?
So I mean, not really. It doesn't associate with me that he would go and confirm Krishna's authority to everyone.
No, but the point is, he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for so many others. So that other people are not bewildered. So that other people can distinguish between true incarnations and bogus incarnations.
Sounds quite scientific.
Whatever you may say, whether it's scientific or unscientific, Krishna consciousness is always scientific.
I heard that then this person say that, but you are not my devotee.
Okay, we'll just come to the discussion. Okay, somebody would like to take two roles of an imposter and a devotee.
I'm God.
No, wait. So you want to take part? Okay, fine. So you're taking part of the imposter.
Yeah.
Okay, come in. So who wants to take the role of the devotee?
I mean, how can I call that?
Did you want me to Krishna?
Now he's already come, so you relax. He's already come. Okay, if you want to pull up two chairs, you can do so. And here are two mics. So the initial statements are there, so you can just repeat them. And then you proceed. So first you have to just repeat those. Okay, you start.
Mahabhavi.
I'm God.
Show me your universal form.
God. One must have the eyes.
But then give me the eyes. That's all that the eyes you gave to Arjuna.
If you want eyes, then you first show it to me.
Now you have to continue. Yeah, so now you have to continue.
Okay. So, how do I do that?
Wait, first of all, can you speak a little bit dirty?
Wash them?
It's just a start. You need to wash these, dry these, and polish them. With baby lotion.
Surrender, but why Arjuna didn't do that with Krishna?
As we've understood it, a few years ago I attended some Bhakti Shastri classes the process is, if you want to understand and see me as God in my universal form, the onus is on you to surrender to me. Surrender means that you've got to do what I say. You go ask when I want you to ask. You think I want you to think.
Okay. So if I do that, you will show me your results.
Oh no, I'm not done yet, I've got a lot of shopping to
do. For the morning.
Yeah, and my bedroom needs to clean as well. So when you're prepared to do exactly what I want you to do, when I want you to do it, then I'll show you my universal form. But until then, nothing. So you need to prove yourself by getting down on your knees and licking your feet.
I will not think
of it. Okay, Haribo! Okay. Anybody else would like to try? No. Your team is done. So a different team. Hey, keep your chair. There you go. Keep the chair. Okay, you want to take your chair? You can take it. Then bring up another chair. And you decide. Okay, take this.
But he is God.
So you want to go through the same thing again? You don't want to go through the same thing again? You start off this way. And then you proceed.
Pavitra, I am God.
You?
But you must have the eyes to face Pavitram, your spectacle wound
was here. You then give me the eyes as you did that too.
For that you have to surrender, Pavitram.
What do you say now?
What do you say?
That's what you have to say. That's what you have to say.
So, can you for surrender? How can I surrender to you?
You have to devote yourself to me.
Why?
See my universal form.
So when I see a universal form, what would I get in?
You will come to know that I am God.
So if you are God, can you prove that you are God?
You want to see my universal form as a proof.
Okay, can you show me that form?
Yes, yeah, for that you have to surrender your
poverty. How do I surrender to you? How?
By devoting yourself, by following my orders.
Okay, why do you follow your orders?
So, sit down.
I'm ready now, sit down.
Okay, Haribo!
So the
Bhagwan has lost.
Remember, can we see Shankar and Ananda Deva?
I know, up to them if they want. Let's see how they do.
You can be God.
You can be God.
Yeah. I think Ananda Seva would be a good devotee.
He doesn't understand.
I am God.
Fine, show me your universal form if you're God.
Ah, you must have the eyes to see it.
Give me the eyes to see it. Is it direct or not? Why not me?
First, you have to surrender it like Arjuna.
What does that entail?
That means accepting me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Arjuna did at the end of chapter 10.
Fine, no Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still not the universal form.
You're not fully surrendered like Arjuna was.
What makes me so different than Arjuna?
Your heart is full of impurities.
No, it's not impure.
Pure devotees will never stay there pure.
I'm pure than the pure devotees.
Sorry, your ego is too big for you to see how much I am God.
I'm sure not a thief, you can't say that. Anyway, look, you say you're God, you want your devotees back, right? You want me to go back to the spiritual world? Mm-hmm. I ain't speaking then. So if you really want me back and you're really God, just grow a load of arms and heads and then we'll call it a day. You win, I win, humanity wins, no material world.
But that's not love. Love means surrendering, not being
forced to surrender.
If you really love me, I wouldn't have to force you.
So you have you're not forcing me. I'm giving you a viable option so I can learn to love you by saying, show me all your hands, all your arms, all your head, all the mouth, all the snakes, all the serpents.
This is the way you talk to God. I don't know why.
Because I'm asking you questions, you know what? But I'm being sincere. Can you tell how sincere I'm being? If you're God, you can tell how sincere I'm being. If you're God, you'll show me your universal form. I will be convinced. I'll go back to God and I'll be happy. I'll get some service. You're happy. End of discussion. Show me your universal form. Stop stalling.
Shankar, this is how you treat God.
Shankar Prabhu,
this is
all you,
Shankar. Next lifetime.
What do you mean next lifetime? Just show me your universal form.
You're not qualified.
I am qualified. I have a master's degree from World Economic Research in International Management.
God doesn't care.
I got 78% of my dissertation.
I don't know.
Okay, that was a good one. Okay, fine. So yes, I mean, of course, there are different ways in which you can go about that argument that first one must surrender. The important point here is that this is one of the criterion to establishing the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and but on a practical basis, there could be so many other ways. Even if, I mean, just the fact that if the Bhagwan says that first you must surrender, I mean, one can always say yes, I surrender. And if somebody is really Bhagwan, then he's also situated as Paramatma in the heart. He should know whether he surrendered or not. Right. So I mean, there's so many ways you could go about that. So the point is, yes, there's so many ways in which one can actually defeat an imposter.
You could say, when was the last time you spoke to the sun god?
Yeah, there are many ways you can go about it. Yeah. Because there's so many, I mean, Bhagwan has so many attributes, the Supreme Lord has so many different attributes. I mean, Krishna has just spoken a whole list of his opulences in the 10th chapter. And on the basis of those, actually, we can defeat Bhagwan. You know, whether he knows the list of opulences. If one is not Bhagwan, he won't know his own opulences. And Krishna is saying, this is just a small sample of my infinite opulences. Same with us only. Okay, let's go to the fourth verse. Fourth verse, Krishna is saying, if you think, sorry, this is not to Krishna, this is Arjuna. Arjuna is saying, if you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O Master of all mystic opulence, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self. So you see here, Arjuna is not ordering the Lords. He's not just saying, you know, show me. He's saying, if you think that I'm able to behold, that means if you think I'm qualified, if you think I'm qualified to actually see your universal form, then you please show me that form. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes something very interesting. Can somebody please read this?
If the infinite reveals himself, then it is possible to understand the nature of the infinite by the grace of the infinite. The word Yogeshvara is also very significant here, because the Lord has inconceivable power. If he lacks, he can reveal himself by his grace, although he is unlimited. Therefore, Arjuna pleads for the inconceivable grace of Krishna. He does not give Krishna orders. Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself unless one surrenders fully in Krishna consciousness and engages in devotional service. Thus, it is not possible for persons who depend on their strength, on the strength of their mental speculations, to see Krishna.
Right, so Krishna is not obliged. He is independent. But if he wants, he can. So this is an interesting statement that Prabhupada writes. If the infinite reveals himself, then it is possible to understand the nature of the infinite by the grace of the infinite. Very beautiful statement. A small exercise on the basis of the statement. Okay, so maybe you can form groups of three. Just turn around. Just turn around and form groups of three. Quick. Done? Hey, Haribol, last row. Please don't sit in that linear fashion. Turn around. And here, where is the group here? Okay, three of you. What about you? Okay, fine, here. Hey, somebody come here, Haribo. Here. Okay, three of you there. Okay, there are four. Okay, there are four. Okay, fine, go ahead. Okay, so this is your question here. Okay, this is your question. It's based on that statement that we just read. So what you will do is this. Identify what is meant by the term by the grace of the infinite. Why do you think this is logically true? Okay, so that statement that we just read. So why do you think this is logically true? Now the second question is, how this doctrine of grace could be misunderstood or misapplied? That's the second question. Okay, how the doctrine of grace could be misunderstood or misapplied? And the third question is, how, if you understand this doctrine of grace, then how this would affect the attitude and the behavior? Okay, so there are three questions. First of all, you explain that statement, by the grace of the infinite, why do you think this is logically true? Second question is how this could be misunderstood or misapplied. And the third thing is this doctrine of grace, if you understand this properly, how it would affect your attitude and your behavior. Is the question clear? Is the question clear? Okay, fine. Okay, so you have about 5 minutes to do this. Okay, so quickly just discuss. Yes, one of you will obviously have to present some part of the exercise. No need to write on charts, just a few thoughts. Okay, so in the next 5 minutes, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Okay, just take a minute more to complete your discussion. One more time. Well, what's meant by academic integrity is basically a philosophical truth. When it's understood properly and it's presented properly, it is called maintenance of academic integrity. So there are two words actually, academic integrity and moral integrity. So academic integrity is understanding a philosophical truth correctly and presenting it correctly. Moral integrity is the application of that. So when it's applied in the proper sense, then it's maintaining the integrity. So your discussion's done, or you require more time?
More time.
Okay, a minute more please, nothing more than that.
Thank you.
Okay, I think so that's enough time. Hare Bol. Okay, can we start? Hare Krishna Prabhu. Can we start? Okay, fine. So I think so we'll begin with the group there. Roy and company. Okay, so please answer the first question. Just the first question. What is meant? Can you please sit, Prabhu? What is meant by the term by the grace of the infinite? Why do you think this is logically true? Can you please answer that question? Yes, Prabhu.
Here in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, Prabhupada checks that Arjuna could not understand that for a living entity it is not possible to understand the unlimited information. So, still we are in the material world and we are not that much knowledgeable to understand the supremacy of Krishna being in this material world.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, it requires the submissive attitude and humble behavior to understand. And Arjuna is here, he admits his limitation of the living entity and acknowledges Krishna. Krishna is in a typical position. So he praises Krishna and humbly asks that, oh, Krishna, I am not able to get it, so please clarify.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Okay, pass on the mic here. Okay, can you explain that a little further, the first question?
We understood as one cannot understand in the infinite by his own desire.
Uh-huh.
Because he is limited. And
who is limited?
Soul.
Okay.
And the Supreme is unlimited. So
yes.
How can limited understand? Unlimited.
Yes.
That's logical.
Okay.
So we are limited, we have four defects, and as mentioned in previously in one of the classes, that love means no forcing.
So okay, love means, okay.
By the grace, you only can get, you know, happiness or love by the grace.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. So yes, that's correct. Yeah, that's basically the point is that the Supreme Lord is unlimited, the Supreme Lord is Vibhu, the living entity is Anu, and so therefore one can understand the unlimited only by the grace of the unlimited. Only when the unlimited reveals about himself to the limited, then only it's possible for the limited to understand. Because as rightly pointed out, the essential fact is that we have four defects. And because we are defective, therefore we can never understand. That's one thing, but also the other important thing is that the Lord is unlimited and we are limited in our perception and understanding. And so therefore we can never understand unless we receive the grace. You have some additional points, please?
Yeah, well, I'll understand one with the idea of, like the sun, at night you cannot have a
torch,
we have to wait till the sun comes up,
that's right, that's a good example, thank you for that. Yes, Srila Prabhupada often gave the example of the sun, and Srila Prabhupada also told that story of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told the story of a rich zamindar who ordered his servants in the middle of the night, "I want to see the sun." So his servants went out with lanterns and other things to see the sun. Obviously not, right? So you'd wait, to find it, sir, not possible now, you'd wait till the morning. Okay, fine, thank you for that. Anyone has any additional points on the first question?
And then there's an additional point, or just a different angle of it, but when somebody is objectively more intelligent or more superior than you, we rely on their goodwill to learn. So, for example, let's say just even in this Bhakti Shastri class, you're not obliged to teach us, but it's by your goodwill, we are then are able to learn. So it's or like a lecturer, you go to a university, it's the lecturer's not forced to teach, it's by good favor, so we need to win the good favor of Krishna.
Okay, fine. Okay, thank you. Okay, fine. Since you have the mic, maybe you can go on to the next question. So, how can this doctrine of grace be misunderstood or misapplied?
Yeah, so one way to be misunderstood is that one doesn't have to do anything.
How? Why would one think like that?
Because they think that, you know, it's just by grace. I'll just wait for the mercy, I'll wait for the revelation. But actually, so that's the way to be misunderstood. You have to actually do something. So we just came up with the idea, it's like walking into a shop. You buy one apple, you get 10 free. Like that. So you get more than what you pay for, but you still have to do something, you still have to walk into the shop.
Okay, fine. Any other thoughts on the second question, how it can be misunderstood or misapplied? Okay, yeah.
In the play here, with it can be misuse of authority. You only get my grace if you surrender.
Okay, fine. Anybody else? Okay, pass the mic there.
Like in Christianity, you know, this eternal debate between faith and work, can anybody relate to that?
Yeah.
It's not by works that you're saved, but by faith, by grace. Works are not that important, and it all comes from grace. So it is.
Okay, something like sentimental.
Same as Michael Thomas.
Fine. Anybody else has any other thoughts on that? How can it be misunderstood or misapplied? Okay, yeah?
I'm not performing the devotional activity properly. I can say that I do not be raised to the Lord.
One can justify that, what to do? You know, Prabhu, why are you not chanting your arms properly? What to do? I don't have the grace. So one can just throw the blame on the grace of the Lord, and I'm not getting the grace. And in fact, yeah, sometimes we actually see this actually happening. Some people do misuse of that in that way. You know, Prabhu, you're always being so hot-tempered, and since the past couple of years, we are seeing that you're not trying to change this nature of yours. Prabhu, what to do? I don't have the mercy. I'm not getting the mercy. What to do? Right, so one can just blame everything on that grace and not do anything about it. Okay, so yes, that's how it can be misapplied. Okay, fine, and then how would this, understanding this correctly, then how it would affect the attitude and the behavior? Okay, so which group has not yet answered? Okay, your group is Ramanya.
We discussed that if we understood this factually, then we would be more humble. We would be more eager to serve, surrender.
Why?
If you understand that it's only, we're in the mercy, so we gotta be patient for it. It's not like we're gonna be. It's not up to us to decide what we get.
Let's take one at a time. What's attitude?
Attitude, humility.
Okay.
We discussed that you have to be humble because that's what Krishna is looking for. We discussed being patient. Because we it's not like Krishna's made a contract with us that you'll get it after a week, 2 weeks, if you work really hard. There's no kind of deadline that Krishna has. So you just have to be patient and wait. That's eager to serve, that's your attitude.
Okay, fine. Thank you for that. Pass the mic to Shankar's group. Okay, so how it would affect the behavior? That's true. Yeah, your two associates on the two sides should definitely speak. They don't speak. You can pass it here. You can pass it here.
Attitude or
behavior? We are discussing behavior.
Krishna being Krishna, he was known you all his life, so your behaviors would be instantly known on appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So, for you to be standing there in front of Krishna, your behaviors would be pretty much unique in that way.
What's the uniqueness?
Well, pure and serving Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Anybody else would like to add something? Okay, any other group would like to add something? Okay, yeah.
This realization would activate that thing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that we should not try to see God ourselves, we should make something that makes God see us actually. And we will work on the direction of the Supreme Lord, and because we are realizing our imperfections, we will always try to be backed up by Guru Sadhana Shastra. And the other thing is that rendering service unconditionally without expectations.
Okay, fine. Anybody else? Like that? Anything else to that? Okay, fine. Yes. So, as rightly pointed out, so if we understand that how we are totally dependent on the grace of the Lord, without that grace we cannot do anything, then actually that will really force us to really be humble. There's nothing to be proud of. What can we really do without that grace of the Lord? I can make my endeavors, but then, in fact, even to make the endeavors, the grace is required. Without that grace of the Lord, I cannot even practice devotional service. If the Lord does not will it, not a single word would come out from here. It's only because the Lord wills it that I'm able to speak, that I'm able to do anything practically. It's only because the Lord is allowing it. One may think, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, so many great things, oh, this project, that project. I'm delivering hundreds of fallen souls in this material world and so on and so forth. One could be thinking, but what can one do without the grace of the Lord? Not one step I can take. And that's exactly the realization of Arjuna when Krishna disappears. So Arjuna was powerless in front of some cowherd man. And then Arjuna is thinking, I'm the same Arjuna, I have the same Gandhiva bow, the same chariot, the same horses, everything is the same, but where have those powers gone? So you see, such a powerful Arjuna. So it mentioned that he was able to conquer and destroy warriors who were like Timingala fish and sharks, so powerful. Like Bhishma and Drona and Karna, he was able to destroy all of them. But now, he has become powerless against some coward men. Why? So Prabhupada writes, Krishna gave him the powers, and when not required, Krishna took away the powers. So we are so helpless.
And Prabhupada actually writes there in that purport, he says, if this could happen to a devotee like Arjuna, what to speak of us? We are totally served. So when we understand that fact, that how we are totally dependent on the Lord, it will really make us humble. And when we really become humble, which, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, is the Siddha Pranali verse for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. What's that? Pranala Pisani Chena, Sarora Pisaishnana, Amanina, Manadena, Pisani Sulaha. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur actually said that. This is one's true constitutional position. That's what is meant by the Siddha Pranali verse. And it said, always hang this around your neck and meditate on that. Because that's factuality. That's the reality. That's our constitutional position. There's really, really nothing to be proud of in this world. As the other day somebody was telling in the Bhagavatam class, what's there to be proud of? We are just simply 1/10,000, the tip of the hair. So what's there to be proud of? Mm-hmm. And that will definitely affect our behavior. If we have a humble attitude, then it will reflect in the behavior. There won't be any pride. We won't be bragging about ourselves. We won't be unnecessarily trying to show others how great we are. And most importantly, there will be no question of offending others. Because we offend others only when we think we are better than others. But if we think that we are simply insignificant, where is the question of offending others?
Right.
And so therefore, this is a very, very important concept to understand, that how it's only by the grace of the Lord that we can actually do anything within our practices of devotional service. Any comments, questions on that subject? Okay, fine. We're going on to the next verse. So in the fourth verse we see Arjuna requesting Krishna. He's saying, if you think I'm qualified, please reveal this form. So in the fifth verse, Krishna is beginning to speak. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Pashyame Partha Rupani Shatashyota Sahasrashah Nana Vidhani Divyani Nana Varna Kritinacha Kritinacha. The Supreme Personality of God said, my dear Arjuna, O son of Krita, see now my opulences, hundreds of thousands of very divine and multicolored forms. Sixth verse. O best of the Bharata, see here the different manifestations of Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Ashwini Kumaras, and all the other demigods. Behold the many wonderful things which no one has ever seen or heard before. Right? So Krishna is saying here, and I think he repeats that point somewhere else, that this form was actually never seen or heard before. Was this universal form ever shown before? When? Yes, it was shown to Duryodhan. Then why is Krishna saying here, no one has ever seen or heard this before?
Is it because Duryodhan did it actually say, he just saw it?
No, he saw it. He saw it. Okay. The point is that this particular form Krishna has never shown before. This form is special, as we will be reading the description now. This form is called as a Kala Rupa. So even amongst the universal forms, this form is a terrible form, Kala Rupa. Right? And so He has never ever shown this form before. There's one more pastime where he showed his universal form. Can somebody quickly recall? Somebody said? Not exactly Damodar Leela, but then when Krishna ate dirt and Mother Yashoda told him to open his mouth, then within that mouth actually she saw that universal form. But again, it was not this ghastly form. This form that Krishna is going to show now is a ghastly form. It's called as a Kala Rupa, which he has never shown before. 7. O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see, and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything moving and non-moving is here completely in one place. And then 8th verse he says, but you cannot see me with your present eyes. Therefore, I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. There's an interesting commentary on this. Yeah, on the 8th verse. Yeah, somebody read this please.
Arjuna should not think that this is some form caused by magical trick or material illusion. The purpose of giving him faith that the form which contains this whole universe is Satchitananda, he speaks this verse. By your material eyes, Anena, you cannot see me. You cannot see my purely spiritual form. Shaknos stands for Shaknosi. Therefore, I give you divine, divyam eyes. See with those divine eyes. By letting him see with those eyes, the Lord's intention was to give a little astonishment to Arjuna, who was thinking himself to be a material person.
Okay, so basically, he's giving him divine eyes in order to see this form, because without that divine vision, one cannot see. I'm just going through some important points here. So actually, because he's a principal associate of the Lord and therefore previously had appeared as Nara along with Narayana avatar, Arjuna does not have material eyes like ordinary material persons. What is the logic in giving spiritual eyes to Arjuna in order to see a mere expansion of the Lord, when that same Arjuna with his very eyes directly realizes the sweetness of the Lord? Arjuna already has spiritual eyes. He's seeing Krishna directly in front of him. And he's not only seeing the form of Krishna, he's realized Krishna's sweetness. So then what does he require then? He already has spiritual eyes. Then what divine vision is going to give? So, but on the other hand, it can be said that the superior eye which sees only the great sweetness of Krishna's human pastimes, as in the case of the Anya Bhakta, does not at all accept the glories of the Lord's pastimes performed with the devatas. One who has tasted the juice of the white lotus cannot relish sugar candy with his tongue. Thus the Lord, wanting to show the majestic nature of his pastimes to the devatas, Devadeva, in order to cause astonishment in Arjuna, when requested just that, gave to Arjuna non-human eyes suitable for seeing Devalila, majestic in quality. The intention of giving such eyes will be explained at the end of the chapter. So the point is that actually Arjuna already has spiritual eyes which can see the sweetness of the Lord. But here Krishna is going to show a material form. So in other words, Krishna has to sort of downgrade his vision in order to be able to see this form. That is the form, that is the vision which Krishna is giving him now. Is the point clear? So that's the point he's making. So actually, see, already Arjuna has superior eyes which sees only the great sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. Arjuna is already on a very high platform. And what Krishna is going to show now is almost like a material form, which is the majestic nature. It's a form which shows the majestic nature of his pastimes with the devatas. Right? It's basically a material form. That's showing majesty, Lord's majesty. And so therefore, in order to cause astonishment to Arjuna, because he requested this form, he wanted to see it, and so therefore he is giving Arjuna non-human eyes suitable for seeing this Devalila, which is majestic in quality. See, Arjuna already has eyes which see Krishna's sweetness. So now he has to bring that down to appreciate the majestic aspect. So that's the divine eyes which is going to give. Because Arjuna has already seen the Lord face to face, appreciating the Lord's sweetness. So what vision does he require? He has to downgrade his vision to appreciate this material form of the Lord.
How can something divine be lower? Because
this is spiritual and this is material.
Can you say that
say that sweetness is felt and the majesty is seen. You cannot feel the majesty, you see it.
Nothing like that, but the sweetness aspect is on a much higher platform, and so somebody is who's actually appreciating the sweetness of the Lord, just like the cowherd boys, or even Mother Yashoda, Nanda. Even if you tell them that Krishna is God, they cannot understand it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like you don't see sweetness.
Okay, fine.
You only can taste it.
Okay.
You can feel it.
But it's still beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, he's still seeing the two-handed beautiful form, isn't it?
Okay.
Well, it requires someone to know one. So somebody who has the qualification, then he can appreciate that Lord's sweetness. This is
the white lotus.
That's the analogy Vishnu Chit Thakur is giving, so I have no experience of that.
There is a white lotus, I think.
I don't know. Okay.
I heard that Arjuna was given the eyes of the demigods.
Yes,
correct?
Yes. That's right. That's what he's saying. Yeah, that's right. Okay, fine. And now we go ahead. So this is the vision that Krishna is giving Arjuna. Is this point clear?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, no response. We understand. It's clear. Okay, so now the next section from 9 to 31 is Sanjaya's description of Arjuna's vision. Okay, so now Krishna actually is displaying this universal form. Sanjaya is seeing it and he is describing it. Okay? So the ninth verse says, Sanjaya said, O King, having spoken thus, the Supreme Lord of all mystic power, the personality of Godhead, displayed his universal form to Arjuna. And so Sanjaya is describing that universal form as he is seeing it on the battlefield. And so the next few verses till the 31st verse is a description of that universal form. And we request each devotee to kindly read one translation and pass the mic ahead.
Chandler.
Read the translation.
Arjuna saw that universal form, unlimited mouth, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful vision. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many divine upraised weapons. He wore celestial garments and garments, and many divine scents were spared over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all expanding.
If hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form.
Okay, this is again. In the 10th and 11th verses, we see that this universal form had many celestial ornaments, and he had celestial garlands and garments. So, Prabhupada makes an important comment in one of his lectures. Okay, please read. Yeah.
If you want to dress somebody, he must be a person. So even the universal form there is personality. Divya by
Malya. Malya means garland.
Malya, Divya Gatna
Kiritina.
Kiritina
means crown.
Well dressed. What dress is possible not in the in-person. If you want to dress somebody, he must be a person. You cannot dress in the sky. Here is the helmet, here is the garland. Where you put? So in the universal form, also there is personality.
Okay, interesting point Prabhupada is making about defeating impersonalism. Okay, go ahead with the 13th verse, translation.
At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord, unlimited expansion of the universe, teaches in one place, although divided into many, many thousands.
Okay, next, 14.
Then we were never astonished. His head falling on the hand, and now both his head to a fell with some sand, and with fallen hand began to pray to the Supreme Lord.
Okay, here Srila Prabhupada makes an important point here in his purport that once the divine vision is revealed, the relationship between Krishna and Arjuna changes immediately. Before, Krishna and Arjuna had a relationship based on friendship. But here, after the revelation, Arjuna is offering obeisances with great respect and with folded hands. He's praying to Krishna. He's praising the universal form. Thus, Arjuna's relationship becomes one of wonder. So this is called as the Adbhut Ras. Right? One of the secondary rasas. So that is the Adbhut Ras, one of wonder. So there's a change of relationship here from friendship. That Sakya Ras, it has become Adbhut Ras. Okay, go ahead.
Arjuna said, "My dear Lord Krishna, I see myself in your body, all miracles and singular bodily names. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, Asura Lord Shiva, and all the saints and divine prophets."
Okay, next.
O Lord of the universe, O universal form, I see in your body many arms. Many arms, bellies, mouths and eyes expanded everywhere without limit. I see in you no end, no middle and no beginning.
Your form is difficult to see because of it and clearing it will effort and spreading on all sides, like blazing fire or the immeasurable radiance of the sun. Yet I see this glowing form everywhere, adorned with various crowns, spells and gifts.
18.
You are the supreme primary objective. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. You are inexhaustible and you are the goddess. You are the maintainer of the eternal religion.
Middle or end, your glory is unlimited. You have numberless arms and the sun and moon are your eyes. I see you with blazing fire coming forth from your mouth, burning this entire universe by your own radiance.
Here Prabhupada makes a point here. He says, here and in many other places, there is repetition. But according to scriptures, repetition of the glories of Krishna is not a literary weakness. It is said that at a time of bewilderment or wonder or of great ecstasy, statements are repeated over and over. That is not a flaw. Okay, so you find some things being repeated again and again. Okay, 20.
Although you are one, you spread throughout the sky and the planet and all space between. O great one, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are better.
Okay, 21.
All the hosts of demigods are surrendering before you and entering into you. Some of them, very much afraid, are offering prayers with folded hands. Hosts of great sages and perfected beings, crying, all these are praying to you by singing the verses.
All the various manifestations of Narsava, the Adichas, the Vasus, the Sajjas, the Vishashdevas, the two Asvis, the Mantus, the forefathers, the Gandharvas, the Yakshas, the Asuras, and the perfected demigods are being holding you in wonder.
Okay, 23.
O mighty Archon, all the planets are there. Demigods are disturbed at seeing your great form with its many faces, eyes, arms, thighs, legs, and bellies, and your many terrible teeth. And as they are disturbed, so I am.
24.
O Lord, made in Vishnu, seeing you with your many radiant colours touching the sky, your gaping mouths and your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear. I can no longer maintain my steadiness or equilibrium of mind.
25.
O Lord, all views of the world, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance seeing the blazing deadline faces and awful teeth. In all directions I am bewildered.
26.7.
All the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with their allied kings, and Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and our chief soldiers also, are rushing into your fearful mouth.
and some I see trapped with head smashed between your teeth.
Okay, so here you can see that this is a very ghastly form that Krishna is showing. So all these soldiers are actually entering into the mouth of the universal form. If you see the Sanskrit, there is this word that is used, churna. The last line of the 27th verse, sandrishyante churnite uttamange. So churna means what? You know churna?
Powder.
Right? In Ayurvedic medicine they use churna. Churna is powder. So all the soldiers are rushing into the mouth of the universal form and their heads are being crushed between the teeth and they're becoming powder. And you can just imagine, you know, there's blood dripping down from the sides of the mouth of this universal form with all these heads and bodies being crushed. So it's quite terrible. Right, that form is quite terrible. And so, this is called as a Kala Rupa, which Krishna actually never showed before. And the important point here is, as Prabhupada writes in his purport, now Arjuna sees that all, that the leaders of the opposite party, Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and all the sons of the Dhritarashtra soldiers and Arjuna's own soldiers are all being annihilated. This is an indication that after the death of nearly all the persons assembled at Kurukshetra, Arjuna will emerge victorious. It is also mentioned here that Bhishma, who is supposed to be unconquerable, will also be smashed. So also Karna, not only will the great warriors of the other party like Bhishma be smashed, but some of the great warriors of Arjuna's side also. So Krishna is showing that actually everyone is going to be killed. Please read 28.
As the many waves of the river flow into the ocean, so do all these great waters end up blading into your mouth.
Okay, 29.
I see all people rushing full speed into your mouth as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire.
Okay, the Acharyas explain that there are two analogies which are being given here. The 20th verse gives the analogy of the rivers flowing under the ocean. So it said that this verse refers to Bhishma and Drona. Because rivers flowing into the ocean is a natural phenomenon. Right? The rivers naturally flow into the ocean. So Bhishma and Drona, who are great devotees of the Lord and who are just playing their roles, so they would return back to their constitutional position. Even though they are being killed by the Lord, but they would return back to the constitution. Therefore that analogy applies to them. And the 29th verse of the moths dashing into fire, that applies to all the others, especially all the Kauravas who are going to be killed because of their arrogance and because of their pride. So that example is given for all the others. Okay. Fine. 30.
O Vishnu, I see you gathering all people from all sides with your flaming mouth, covering all the universe with your effulgence. You are manifest with terrible scorching rays.
Okay, 31.
O Lord of Lords, so dear to form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is.
Right, so Arjuna is totally bewildered. It's Krishna only who is showing the universal form, but he's asking, who are you? Right, so he's totally bewildered. He doesn't understand who this form is from, where this form came. He's totally confused. Right, and therefore he's asking all these questions. And Krishna begins to speak in the next verse, which we will continue tomorrow. Any comments, questions? Fine.
For the essay, I'm using words generally.
the processor, or 2010.
I hope everyone knows the word limit, the word limit for the essay. Well, we can say about 700. Okay, 600 to 700 is okay. Okay, 600 to 700 words. Okay, and try not to write a book. Try to make it somewhat precise.
I would like to mention to you, are there any